Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we all know that we're not supposed to talk about controversial issues, right? We wouldn't want to offend anybody. At least that's what we're told, right? If someone feels very strongly about something, probably better just to keep our mouths shut. Well, religion and politics often fall into this category of controversial because people feel very strongly about both. So the question is what happens when an immovable object meets an unstoppable force? It's precisely at that point that we need to talk about capital punishment in the church. Ready? Yes, today some might be offended, but the truth is that you all support capital punishment. Any challengers? It's true, or at least I hope it's true. I hope you support capital punishment, the death penalty. I'll prove it to you. Ask yourself the question, what is the cross? I'll tell you what it is. It's an ancient death device, and you have them all over your church. Seriously, you have them all over the place. There's one here, there's one up there, there's some over here. They're literally all over the place in this building. You support the death penalty. In fact, you celebrate it. You love it. You even call the day on which Jesus received his capital punishment Good Friday. You call it good. You see, the truth is that the cross is such a common symbol in today's world, especially in the church, that we forget that it's a symbol of shame, that it's a symbol of death. We forget that the only people who were crucified were criminals. Or maybe those who were slaves who were sort of disobedient or unruly. What is the cross? The cross is the equivalent of the modern day electric chair or lethal injection. How many of you want one of those hanging from your neck? What else is the cross? It's foolishness. It's foolishness to the world. The world hears the message of Jesus Christ crucified, and all they see is sort of this Jewish rebel who went against the standard of the day, who is executed for sort of rousing the crowds and sort of creating this rebellion against the powers that be. When they hear the message of Jesus, who is resurrected from the grave, they think, well, that's impossible. And to say that you received some sort of gift from this death and resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago? Yeah, right. It doesn't make much sense for a criminal who dies a criminal's death to be any benefit for anyone, especially 2,000 years later. The whole thing seems rather foolish. The whole thing seems rather stupid. And so what does the world say? They'll say, prove it! And we can't. The world will demand some sort of sign, right? Give me a sign that what you're saying is true, or some sort of extensive, sort of eloquent explanation. But we can't. The truth is that you could be the best evangelist who has ever lived, and you still wouldn't be able to make some people believe. And there's a good reason for it, too. It's because the world is still trying to grasp the promises of God with knowledge, with reason, with logic, and it doesn't work. The promises of God cannot be understood with knowledge. They can only be grasped by faith. Simply seeing what God has written down, hearing what God has written down, and believing it. No signs, no extensive explanation, just trust. Well, what is the cross? The cross is offensive. It's true. The world always seeks after what is attractive. The world always seeks after what is sort of glamorous and successful. So when God comes to serve, when he comes to call you to repentance, when he comes to die for you, it's not pretty. It's not attractive. It's not glamorous. And so the world hates it. Especially when Jesus says, look, you can't do it on your own. You can't gain salvation for yourself. And especially a country in which we live in today, we think we can have everything. You know, the right price, or if I work hard enough, or if I do enough, I can have whatever I want. But not salvation. See, we think we're self-sufficient. We think that we need no one else but ourselves. Or people worship at the altar of happiness and convenience, and the cross comes in to show that it's not happiness or convenience that produces godliness. It's suffering. Suffering produces holiness. Denying yourself produces holiness. Confessing that you cannot, by your own reason or strength, believe in Jesus or do anything good at all produces holiness. Denying yourself, denying the world. Because it's at that very moment that you learn the foolishness of God, it's wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So what's the cross? The cross is foolishness. The cross is offensive. The cross is a death device from hundreds of years ago. And yet for the Christian, for you, the cross is where you find hope. The cross is where God chose you. It's wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Whoa, those are some big words. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Well, first we start with wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? Well, it means that the wisdom from God started before we even had being. At the very foundation of the world, God knew what needed to be accomplished to save you from sin. Even before sin even entered the world, the time and place was set for Jesus to come, for him to die, for him to be bloodied, for him to rise from the dead. God was ready to reveal himself to you in Jesus Christ before the first word was uttered at creation. In fact, he even knew all of the words that he would write down in the Bible. The very words that contain eternal life. He knew every dot. He knew every dash. He knew every line that he would have to write down so that you might believe. So the question is do you believe that Jesus has been crucified and risen for you? Well, of course you do. And it means that you share the wisdom of God. What is the cross? It's your righteousness. The truth is that we all know we have not lived a perfect life. Right? Your words and your actions and your thoughts, they're sinful. But Jesus, his are not. He lived a perfect life. He was innocent the whole time, and yet he takes the place of a sinner. He takes the guilty verdict so that you can be declared innocent, so that you can stand before God at the judgment without fear. Jesus is put on trial and hung on an ancient execution device so that you don't have to be, so that you don't have to endure God's wrath. What is the cross? The cross is your sanctification. That means receiving the innocence. This is what we attribute to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to make you holy. And so now that Jesus has done the work that needs to be done through his cross and his empty tomb, he now empowers you. The cross empowers you. It strengthens you to do what every Christian ought to do. To meditate on God's word, to follow it, to believe it, to do the things the law requires. To leave behind our sin and live lives of righteousness under the shadow of the cross. Living in the gift that Jesus gave us. What is the cross? It's your redemption. Redemption being that buying word, right? The paying word. You know, you take money to the grocery store and you turn it in and you redeem it for groceries. And so what has Jesus done for you? But he's gone to the cross to bleed and die, to pay for you with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. The truth is, you are not your own. God bought you with himself. Why? So that you could be his own. So that you could be a people for his possession. So that you could be counted not amongst those who think the cross is foolishness or folly or stupid, but you could be amongst those who cling to the cross of Christ wholeheartedly. What is the cross? The truth is, the cross is many things. To the world, the cross is foolishness. It's offensive. But to the Christian, it's much more than just an ancient means of execution. It's your source of hope. It's your source of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. My friends, Jesus Christ has been bloody and beaten and crucified for you. He's overcome all the world by his resurrection. He has declared, your sins are forgiven by his actions. And my friends, there's nothing for us to preach but Christ and him crucified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.